because we are saving in the amount of energy that we're getting from our local utility, it's worthwhile. Because what I've experienced is that we are getting more than what was guaranteed by the contractors who install these systems. They are giving us a nominal 30 megawatt power guarantee for the first year. We're exceeding that.
In 2013, the Kansas City government installed 1.5 megawatts of solar on 59 of its city-owned buildings. Going forward, the potential for solar in Kansas City is gargantuan. At least that's what we think. Join us this week as John Farrell talks to Charles Harris, project manager with the City of Kansas City, Missouri, about maximizing the city's solar potential. This is Local Energy Rules, a podcast sharing powerful stories about local renewable energy.
I feel like Kansas City is this, in some ways, a story for a lot of Midwestern towns that might be looking at solar in terms of solar overcoming adversity. You don't have the greatest solar resource in the country, and you have cheap electricity from the grid. So I'm curious, you know, was it an environmental motivation that got the city looking at doing solar energy?
Part of it was, back in 2006, we established this KCML Climate Protection Plan. What we wanted to do was to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from municipal buildings. And part of that solution was to obtain about 15% of our energy from renewable sources.
Now, the key to the success with solar seems to be this pretty novel leasing arrangement that you had with, I think it was the company Brightergy,
right.
But also the incumbent utility, Kansas City Power and Light. Can you explain about how did that leasing arrangement make solar affordable, and also why the project was split between those two different vendors?
Well, it made it affordable because as a municipality, we really don't have a lot of money. A lot of our resources go to things that we already have in place to take care of. So in order to get that 15% renewable, we had to have another vehicle to do that. And our local utility, KCP&L, came out with this rebate for renewable energy that made it very attractive. And what we did was we entered into two separate 20-year lease agreements with both of these companies, whereby they bought the material, that is the solar material, installed it on our buildings, and they're guaranteeing us a certain amount of energy production. Now, we didn't have to pay for that upfront cost for the material. So what we're doing is we are leasing the material for these 20 years, and we lease it. Our lease agreement is based upon the amount of energy that those systems produce. So it offsets our existing utility bill.
The rebate that you mentioned from Kansas City Power and Light, do you remember what value that rebate had and how that made the solar more affordable?
Basically, it was $50,000 per system. So both KCP&L and Brightergy were able to pay for the equipment and the installation with that rebate.
As I recall, a lot of the solar installations, or maybe all of the solar installations, are 25 kilowatts or smaller, and that was having to do with the limit that there was based on the utility rebate. I also know that Kansas City in Missouri doesn't have access to what some folks call aggregate net metering, which means that when you want to offset energy use at a particular facility at a city and you have many, many buildings, in some states, you're allowed to basically pool together the energy consumption of a lot of buildings and offset that with a solar installation at just one of them. But as I understand it, that's also not possible in Missouri. Was that one of the reasons why you have so many installations at that size, or was it really the rebate, or both?
It was both. One of the reasons that we had it for this size is not all of our buildings have enough roof area to sustain larger installations, those greater than 25 kW. I would say that of all of our buildings, maybe about 8 could sustain larger systems, and we were trying to get 80 buildings. So it was better for us to stay with that 25 kW system and get as many buildings as we can in that program.
You mentioned right now that the goal is to get 80 buildings. And I think you managed to install in about 59, which of course is pretty darn good. It's about 75%. If you were in baseball, you'd be in the Hall of Fame. But what was the limitation on putting solar on the other 20 buildings? Why didn't that work out?
Well, there are a couple of obstacles we had to overcome. One was the time factor, because the rebate was only for a short period of time. So we get all these buildings all the systems in before the time limit. Number two was, though we might have had additional buildings, they weren't conducive for solar installations. Either the roofs were too small, maybe they didn't have the correct orientation with respect to the sun. Maybe there are obstacles of other buildings or trees around those buildings, so we just couldn't get the exposure of those systems to make it viable.
We've worked with the Mid-America Regional Council, which is a regional government for the Kansas City metropolitan area, to refine a map that they had already put together about solar building potential. They had been looking on both public and private property. And we asked them to take a look specifically at public properties, at public buildings. Mm-hmm. And they suggested that the city could get up to 70 megawatts on public rooftops. And to be fair, they weren't able to account for certain things like roof obstructions or shading. Do you feel like that number, 70 megawatts, I mean, you have 1.5 megawatts, and 70 is obviously, you know, almost an order of magnitude more. Do you feel like that number seems reasonable, given that they covered kind of a wide range of public buildings, including schools? Or do you feel like that number is too high and may not account for some of the challenges that you had in the buildings you were able to cover with solar?
Well, I don't know where they're getting 70 megawatts for public buildings, because we don't have that many. If you're talking about schools, then that's outside of our purview. It's not in our jurisdiction. So if we consider other facilities that are not city-owned facilities, maybe that's the case. We could get that 70, but we just couldn't do it based on what I mentioned before, the obstacles of buildings and trees around our buildings, the solar orientation, and even the construction of the roofs. Some of our roofs aren't flat. Some of our roofs just don't have the correct slope. Some of them don't have the correct construction to support these type of installations. They don't have the structural integrity to do it.
Money wasn't an object. Do you feel like there are more opportunities for doing solar on city-owned buildings, or do you feel like the issues that you just described, whether it's shading or the building orientation or structural issues, have meant that you've pretty much already met the limit of solar that you can do on city-owned buildings?
I think that there are other opportunities there. In my department, general services facilities in particular, we have the maintenance responsibility for maybe 140 buildings, but we have other departments in the city that have buildings to where these solar installations could be viable. So it would be worth taking a look at it from that standpoint, going to those other departments and saying, hey, we've got an opportunity for some renewable energy. Can we explore the opportunity on your buildings? But what's going to be viable and what's going to be very important in both these situations is going to be the economic value that you mentioned. If money were no object, then it's possible we can do that on maybe 60 buildings. Who knows? But until the rebates come back, we just can't do it.
You know, it's kind of curious in the way that you described that. I feel like for other cities that we've talked to about doing solar, that there's been sort of a centralized decision-making process about which, you know, looking at the opportunities for solar and then also making the decision about the buildings that you would do. The way you just described it, it sounded like there was a lot of initiative from your particular department within the city government. Is the decision-making about solar on city buildings made by at the department level rather than at more of a centralized level at, you know, city council or the mayor's office?
Well, the city council and the mayor's office had, they were advocates for renewable energy. So when we came up with this process, actually there was two departments that got involved, General Services and our Office of Environmental Quality out of the City Manager's Office. They're the ones who got together with KCP&L and Bridegy and came up with this model, if you will. We went to all of our other departments and gave them the opportunity to join us. So it started with one group, if you will, but then we included the other groups.
You know, in terms of some of the barriers that you faced, we spoke with some folks from Lancaster, California, which obviously has a much different kind of basic, or sort of the Lancaster has a much different baseline in terms of having an enormously good sunny resource and much more expensive electricity from the grid. Conversations that you had with Matt Grimley from ILSR, you had mentioned that the power purchase negotiation, or the lease agreement negotiation, was somewhat time consuming and challenging. And the folks from Lancaster, when I asked them about kind of what the barriers were to solar, you know, obviously the cost issue was not really on the table for them. But they said that that kind of negotiation was very easy. The city's negotiating this kind of thing all the time. And I'm just kind of curious, you know, it sounds like you might have had a different experience, and I'm wondering what it was that made that a little more challenging.
I think that with us, we've got some requirements. Number one, we tried to get minority participation in our contracts. So that was something that had to be included. Another issue that we've run into is that we have indemnification clauses in our agreements, and sometimes those are sticklers for contractors. Many times they don't want to indemnify us for things. So it just takes a while to get over that hurdle, if you will, for them to understand that we're not trying to put an undue burden on them, but it's just something that is standard in our contracts.
On this theme of barriers, if you could change one policy, whether it's local or state or federal, to make solar easier for cities like Kansas City, what is it that you would change?
I would extend those rebate and financial incentives.
Do you think that the rebate and financial incentives would need to be as large as they were? I think when I looked it up, it was about $2 per watt,
right,
which is more significant than they are in most places these days. Do you think the rebates would need to be at near the same level for it to make sense for the city, or do you think the cost of solar has come down to the point where it's not as much of an issue?
No, that has to be at $2. And it's not so much for the city. It was actually a barrier with our partners. It didn't meet their business model and their financial goals to have anything less than $2 per kilowatt.
Well, Charles, I just want to say thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me. Is there anything else that you feel like, you know, you experienced in the process of installing solar for Kansas City that would be instructive for other cities that are looking at doing the same thing that I might have missed?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we need to make sure before entering into this agreement is that everyone is on board, that everyone in the organization sees the value of these type of lease agreements, realizing that there's going to be some upfront costs that we don't have to bear. But in the long run, because there are annual lease payments that have to be made, because we are saving in the amount of energy that we're getting from our local utility, it's worthwhile. Because what I've experienced is that we are getting more than what was guaranteed by the contractors who install these systems. They are giving us a nominal 30 megawatt power guarantee for the first year. We're exceeding that.
And what, you know, explain just for a second what kind of financial difference that makes for the city. So you have these lease agreements, and then you have the energy production that's offsetting your electricity bill. Presumably, you're coming out ahead, at least in the long run. And
exactly.
Has that been a big factor?
That's been a big factor.
That was John Farrell, ILSR's Director of Democratic Energy, talking to Charles Harris, Project Manager for the City of Kansas City, Missouri. After the interview, John and I asked Charles a couple follow-up questions. The first, would Kansas City really need a $2 solar rebate for a $3 a watt installed cost on their buildings? Combined with federal incentives, that would zero out the cost entirely, we thought. But Charles said it was necessary. According to the utility, Kansas City Power and Light, and the solar developer, Brightergy, anything less would not meet their financial goals. Then we asked Charles to take a look at our solar potential map for city-owned properties in Kansas City. Our map and resulting analysis says Kansas City has 70 megawatts of solar potential for its properties. We asked Charles, how many buildings do you think you could actually put solar on? Charles thought only about 4% of those properties could support solar, meaning less than 1 megawatt of solar potential. The reasons for this limitation run the gamut, he said. Vacant buildings, vacant parcels of land, structural integrity, surrounding geometry, not enough on-site energy to offset with net metering, to name a few. While 70 megawatts on 70 owned buildings does seem like a stretch, we know there's more than 1 megawatt of solar potential for Kansas City. So, will this solar city become the Kansas City Royals of the mid-2000s, or will they own up to the team that reached the World Series in 2014? Either way, you can find out more about Kansas City's municipal efforts in our new report, Public Rooftop Revolution, at ilsr.org, where you'll also find other episodes of our Local Energy Rules podcast. Until next time, keep your energy local, and thanks for listening.